This program is brought to you by BibleWayMedia.org, overseen by the Ooligah Church of Christ in Ooligah, Oklahoma. And hello again. We want to welcome you back to Uncensored Dads and the Uncensored Word. This is Redemption Week, and so we're taking a break from our regular scheduled podcast episode that we were doing. And so we'll be looking at redemption this morning, coming from Luke chapter 15, looking at the parable, what we call sometimes a prodigal son, sometimes a lost son. The same idea. We find in Luke chapter 15, before I get into our text, though, we do want to thank Brother Matt Olson for being here with us from the Chipman Earl congregation there in Lee Summit, Missouri. And of course, I'm always here as well, Russ Earl from the Ooligah Church of Christ here in Ooligah, Oklahoma. And we do thank you for tuning in. But we are looking in Luke chapter 15 this morning, the parable of the lost son and the prodigal son. And we find here an interesting situation because we're going to be focusing on redemption, obviously, in this lesson. But really what you find with the prodigal son beginning in chapter 11, really what I always point out is that what he does is actually an insult. If you look at the way things were done, especially in this time period in which they were living in, no one was to receive their heritage or their inheritance while their father was alive. And so we find in Luke chapter 1, the Bible says here, "Then he said, a certain man had two sons," this being Christ speaking. He says, "And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So divided them his livelihood." Now that again, he starts off by insulting, by doing something very insulting, asking for his inheritance while his father's still alive. And verse 13 says, "Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with a prodigal living." Now, this is from the New King James, but we notice here, we always point out here, and we're not going to spend just a whole lot of time on this, but is that when he gets what he wants, he gets his livelihood, this portion out to him there in verse 12, that in verse 13 says, it didn't take very long, he got all this stuff together, and he went to a far country. If you do not want people to know what you are doing, if you do not want anyone trying to caution you or to warn you about what you're doing, well, what do you do? Well, if you're the prodigal son, you get out of town. And that's what he did. He took all his stuff and he left because, as I like to say sometimes, he thought he was a big boy. He's grown now, so he got his inheritance and he takes off into a distant land. But the Bible tells us also in the same verse, it tells us that he journeyed to a far country like a big boy, that he lost everything else as well in that same verse. He wasted his possessions with a prodigal living. Now, the word prodigal here actually means the idea that he was, sometimes the translations say spendthrift, but the idea that here is that he just wasted it quickly. The word also is used here is riotous, which means he wasted it on sinful living. Riotous living or prodigal living is sinful living, and that's how he spent his goods. And then in verse 14, the Bible tells us that things only got worse for him. The Bible says, when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. He wasn't hired. He attached himself to him. And he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. So in verses 11 through 16, you have a picture painted very quickly of this individual who's very, no doubt, immature, to say the least. And then he takes his inheritance. He runs off, wastes on sinful living, and then he finds himself in dire need. Now, spiritually speaking, we find here this is what happens so many times today. People who want to live their life how they think they however they think they see fit is best. And what happens? Well, we find in verse 15, or excuse me, verse 14, the Bible says there he began to be in want. When you find yourself living outside of the Bible, you will find yourself in want, spiritually speaking. You may have all the goods. You may not have the famine that rise up in the land like the prodigal son did, but you will indeed be in want. Now, I'm going to stop there for just a moment. Brother Matt, add anything you like as we continue looking at the prodigal son.
Well, you think about, like, you're talking about the prodigal son, we're going 11 through 16. It's kind of like in our daily lives, like you can take it through, like when you're a child, you love your parents, you rely on your parents. As you're growing older, you kind of go away from your parents and you think, well, you know, I know what I'm doing. And then when you get to an age of like our age, you know, sometimes you're like, wow, my parents didn't know what I was talking about, you know, and you're kind of like, whoa. But what I love about this story is the redeeming factor of his father. you know, the he comes back and he's like, hey, I'll be a servant. And the father's like, no, you're my son. And he gives him, you know, throws him a big party and a big old shindig and whatever you want to call it. And the redeeming factor of that is just amazing, you know. And I think of ourselves as we're just like the parable of the lost son. We want to do everything that we want to do. We waste our possessions. We do everything like that. And it kind of, God is just there going, hey, I'm not leaving. I'm still here whenever you want to, not kind of like whenever you want to come back to me or whatever. But it's not, he wants us there and to live faithfully. But the whole thing is the redeeming factor of Jesus Christ, his blood, you know, and that's what amazes me about this. And Jesus is telling this parable like, hello, you know, like banging them on the head. Hello, you know, it's not difficult to, it's not, this isn't difficult, you know.
You know, and like you said here, the redeeming quality of the Father is incredible. And I think sometimes people today want to take advantage of those who are ready to forgive. We want to be those, obviously, who are ready to forgive, just like God is. But God also, just as John the Baptist says to those who came to him there in the first few chapters of John, those who came to him, he says, tells them to bear fruits worthy of repentance. We have to do the same thing. And the son here, and the prodigal son in Luke 15, he comes bearing fruits worthy of repentance. I mean, he really comes back a broken and shattered individual. You know, he attaches himself there to this citizen, and in verse 16 tells us that no one gave him anything, which means he received no help from anyone. He got to the point where, in verse 17, that he even began to think he might perish with hunger. He says there in verse 19. Verse 18 says, I will rise and go to my father's house and say to him, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer really be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Now, when you think about what that means, we have to remember, first of all, before he ever says this, he has to recognize first that where he is at is because of his own actions, and where he is at is in sin. You notice that first phrase in verse 17 says, but when he came to himself, it's like someone just snapping out of it. You know, they realize what they're doing. You know, they're looking down there in verse 16, like he says, he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate. Have you ever seen what the pigs eat? You want nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
You know, when I was a kid, when I was in school, there was some farmland right next to the high school where we were at. And when you're going through the school line, you get done, you of course take your tray, whatever's left, and you dump it down the hole and go into the bucket. And I remember one time, I forget how I saw this or why I saw it this day, but you could see the worker giving the leftover slop or whatever to, not leftover slop, nobody's eating that, but the slop there to the farmer, and he was taking it. You recognize, of course, he's taking it to his animals. Well, that's the idea we're talking about here. This is just the gross, disgusting stuff that nobody wants. It's even, you know, partially even probably even starting to decay. And that's what he's making mention of it. What we're talking about here, and he's willing to eat that kind of stuff. And then we see in verse 17, he just kind of snaps out of it. And the Bible says he came to himself. It's like him saying, what am I doing? And somebody found there, verse 17, when he says, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to eat and to spare, and I perish with hunger. Saying my father's very servants have it better than I do. And why is he there? Why is he there in that position? Because he's selfish, he's greedy, he's immature, and he is in sin. That's why he's there. He wasted all his inheritance, as the Bible says in verse 13, with a prodigal or riotous living. That's where he's at. But then we find in verse 20 here, the Bible says, and he rose and came to his father. Like what Brother Matt was talking about, he's coming back to his father. You know, I've talked about this lesson numerous times, and sometimes I approach it from different ways. I think one of the last times I did this was talking about coming, the importance of coming home. And that's what the son was doing. He was coming home. But we have to, if we're going to come home to God, we have to come home the right way. In verse 20, he's coming home humbled, broken, and ready to do what was ever necessary to just come home. And I'm going to stop there. That Brother Matt, I think he'd like.
And that's the way we are. Like, you think about when you first came to Christ is, you were like, well, you're pricked to the heart. And that's the way God wants it. He wants you to be pricked and be like, whoa, oh my goodness, what am I doing? And then also, even as we live as Christians, we are going to sin. We need to realize that sometimes we have to turn and run from sin. One verse I like to bring up is Lamentations 3:40. Let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. Let us, you know, like the prodigal son was searching, kind of like feeling his oats or, you know, whatever that saying is. I don't know, old school saying, whatever. But, you know, he's feeling it out, you know, like, hey, I can do this. I can. But God wants us to be humble when we come back. And hey, I'm not saying that you can always live that way and then you just split second, you get to turn back to God at any moment. But what I'm saying is he literally humbled himself, was ready to be a servant, was ready to eat the pigs, swallow everything. But the father was like, hey, no, you are my son. I am going to welcome you back with open arms. And he humbled it. He was humbled. And that's what I think is a great factor. And, you know, like part of this, the thing that I wrote down was how dads teach redemption by word. You know, it's kind of like what we were thinking about is how do we do that as dads? How do we do this as parents? Mm-hmm. You know, how about by living God's word out, right? Teaching your children. Pray with your children, you know, ask them questions about people, support them, and keep them accountable. That's what we need to do as dads and fathers.
So. You know, I think about, you know, one of the things this guy was doing when he left, he's wanted to go take this money and go enjoy the pleasures of life. And something we have to realize and help, like you said, remind our kids as well is that even if we buy material things, you have to realize that those things won't last forever. They're going to break down. They're going to deteriorate. You know, I mean, I don't know how many times I've been at stores that they'll have their grills out there. And I've used this illustration before that they'll leave them out there sometimes, even in the rain. And I've seen them before even have small spots of rust on there while they're still for sale, which just tells you that the things are going to deteriorate. And what we have to realize is we have to help encourage our children to see that some things are not important, not nearly as important as what we think they are. You know, if you look at Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 10, giving credit to Solomon here. He says, whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I didn't withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my reward for all my labor. Now he begins to talk about next what his reward was. Found in verse 10, really if you look at 1 through 10, he talks about all the stuff he got, all the servants. You know, he is like the Bill Gates or Mark Zuckerberg, financially speaking, of his time. Whatever he wanted, he had it. But look what he says in verse 11. This is what we need to drive home to our children. He says, and I looked on all the works my hands had done and on the labor which I had toiled. He says, and indeed, all was vanity. And the word vanity literally means vapor or breath. He says, it's all what? It's fleeting. He says, all is vanity and grasping for the wind. And he says, there was no profit under the sun. It did not bring him happiness, and at least it did not bring him lasting happiness. And that's what the prodigal son learned. You know, he went out and wasted all his money, and what happened? He went up back out in the field eating slop because it's all gone, which should tell us and tell our children as well is that these things are fleeting. We have to look for those things like Christ talks about. We have to store up treasures in heaven where the thief cannot break in and steal, where moth and rust does not destroy. And so that's what the prodigal son is learning. That's what Solomon was telling us there in Ecclesiastes. That's what Christ tells us there in the gospel accounts as well. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And if we look here, and interrupt me anytime, Matt, but if you look here in verse 21, or 20, rather, the Bible says, he arose and came to his father. So now he is coming back home here in Luke 15, verse 20. And he says, when he was still a great way off, I remember when I was younger, had one of our friends who saw my brothers from a distance. And he said, well, I could tell who it was by their walk. I recognized who it was. He had the cool walk, so to speak, whatever that is. And he recognized him from a long way off. And that's the idea here in verse 20. He recognized his son before his son ever got to him. And the Bible says, when he was still a great way off, his father, now notice, his father saw him and had compassion. Did the father know his son well enough to recognize why his son was coming home? I don't think there's any doubt in that. He knew why he was coming back.
Yeah, there's no doubt at all that he knew why he's coming back. He knew that. He knew his son. He knew his son was just going to go squander it, you know? And like you said, Solomon said, all is vanity here on the earth. You know, it's kind of like the old saying, you don't see a U-Haul following a hearse.
Mm-hmm.
Right? All the stuff will vanish away. And he knew that his son, he knew his son was this way. I mean, it was his son. You know how your children are. You know their little quirks. You know their little, you know that, hey, if I give this one money or this one money, how they're going to spend it or what they're going to do with it. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling he knew what his son was going to do. His son just wanted to go and just, like they say, is, you know, go out and tour the city or go out and find new world or whatever. You know, mm-hmm. but the funny part is he came back and he's like, wow. And his son was shocked, probably, by his dad's reaction. He thought his dad was going to make him a servant. And his dad's like, no, you are my son. And like you talked about, you know your kids from a distance. You know their walk. You know the way they, you know, their outline or whatever you want to call it. I don't know. I'm losing my mind here. But but you just know how your kids walk, how they, you know, you just know your kids. Like if my four kids were walking down the road now, I could tell you which all four were mine. You just know because you're with them all the time. You know their demeanor. You know what they're thinking. You just know. And that's what we as fathers have to do. We have to get to know our children and know the little quirks and know the little... Because I truly believe, and I mean, this is... The father is basically God, right? I mean, that's the parable of it all. And God knows us. God knows our quirks. He knows everything about us. And he knows what's gonna happen. He knows all that. But we have to realize that we have to humble ourselves and come to him. We can't be cocky and be like, oh yeah, you know, I guess I'll go to him today, or you know, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. And like you said there, you know, you don't see a hearse following a U-Haul following a hearse, rather. You know, I think about the Egyptians and those tombs. How many times we see where those things are opened up, and the caskets or the whatever they call them, and that they have everything in there because they fully believe that you got to take it with you. You know, why do people have wills today? They write up so they can leave their things to those who are still alive after they're gone. And so, you know, we think about what. You know, this whole lesson really revolves around putting the desire for redemption above material things, because that's what the prodigal son has learned the hard way. I can't imagine losing. You know, if you're the son, just imagine for a second getting what you always wanted, but for a short period of time, right? And then on top of that, a famine hits, which means everybody in that whole area is in need. So that means even your basic necessities gonna be that much harder to get. And he drives into the point of wanting to come back and make things right. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants to drive home the idea, the concept, and very much so, that you can do nothing without me. You know, you look throughout the Bible, when God punishes people, when God brings the 10 plagues on those there in Exodus, you know, showing his power over the so-called Egyptian gods that did not exist. I mean, he just dominated the whole area for that time period. And you look at, you know, the flood coming on and the warning people had, and the whole point was to drive them to repentance so they don't die on their sins. The prodigal son, in all reality, got off very, very easily. He could have changed his attitude completely and said, you know what, I don't care. I'll sit here and I'll eat these pods before I ever go back home. And that stubbornness is what separates the saved from the lost. And you look here in verse 21, verse 20 says, when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. So the father, like Matt points out here, is a reflection of God, right? Does God want us to come home? Does he rejoice when we come home? Absolutely. But notice verse 21, the son doesn't change his demeanor. He doesn't say, oh, I don't have to repent. No, he still confesses to his father, right? He says, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Now, we know from previously, what he's going to say, that he didn't get to finish what he wanted to say. Because look in verse 22, the Bible says, but the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring a fatted calf here, verse 23, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. So who was lost was the son, Now he is what? He is restored to the Father, representing God, obviously. Why? Because his repentance and coming back to God. He didn't come to God and God accepted him and nothing changed. No, we find very clearly verse 21. He says, I have sinned against heaven, which means against God, and in your sight, which means to his Father. And I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Why? Because I am a life moron who did something stupid and sinned against you. That's basically the idea, right? I mean, he's just owning up to, look, I sinned against God. Just make me like when you're hired servants. Don't even call me your son because I'm not bright enough to be that. And his father, verse 22 and following, replies with, no, you are my son. You're going to get the best of everything because you are my son.
You are.
And this is the same idea we find today.
Yeah, for sure. And I just want to close with what does redemption mean? It's the action of saving, being saved from sin, error, or evil, or clearing a debt. What is the biblical example? That's Jesus on the cross, right? That is the end-all, be-all. You know, that's kind of like the rubber stamp, right? And, I mean, that's enough said. It's he cleared the debt. He redeemed us, right? And here we're talking about the prodigal son. Is the father was like, no, you are my son. And all of that is cleared, man. You're done. It's cleared. You know, like you said, if he would have came and said, I'm just going to stay here. Kind of like the world, you know, we just say, well, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. I don't care. I don't care what happens. Like I know Noah brought up, like Ronald Reagan's son was, hey, man, I can't wait to burn in hell. Well, that's not a great way to be, you know? I mean, and he's going to realize that it's going to be pretty warm in hell, you know? So.
Yeah, he's going to get his wish. But, you know, to close this out, like what Matt was saying here, we don't want to be the rebellious one. There's no reason to brag when you're in sin. There's the only reason, you know, there's no bragging rights there. But we find in verse 24, and this is what I want to close with. He says, for this my son, this is the father speaking about his son. And he seems like he's speaking to his servants to let everybody else know, right? For this my son was dead. And is alive again, found. Dead and lost means he was dead and lost in sin. He's alive again and is found means he has returned to where he ought to be, spiritually speaking, with God. And so we should have that same desire. Don't be the stubborn son who stays out in the field eating the pig slop. We need to come home to God, you know, in repentance. We're going to stop there today. I do thank you for being here with us. Appreciate Matt being here with us as well. We hope you enjoyed this lesson. We hope also you'll tune into all the lessons every week, but especially this week as we talk about the topic of redemption. We hope to see you again next time here on Uncensored Dads and the Uncensored Word. Thank you for listening today. We hope you enjoyed this program. You can find out more about Bible Wave Media by visiting us at BibleWaveMedia.org. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And we encourage you to please share this program, to like it on social media. Thank you for being with us today.